Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Ayin Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin at the very bottom line of Ayin Omid Beis. Omalei Rebbe Lozer le Rebbe Yoshia de Dorei. Rebbe Lozer asks Rebbe Yoshia of his generation. Rashi points out, so as not to confuse this Rebbe Yoshia with Rebbe Yoshia the Tana, the Gemara uses the expression de Dorei, of his generation, his contemporary. So Rebbe Lozer says, Lo Tesev Akaroch ad Demafishes Lei Loha Milsa. Don't sit down until you explain the following. So it's as if Rebbe Lozer poses a challenge to Rebbe Yoshia, and he asks him, Minayin la'omer shematir bahashrasha. From where do we know that the Omer, the meal offering brought on the 16th of Nisan, is matir, the new grains, provided the new grains had achieved a level of development of rooting, taking root, before the Omer is brought? In other words, all grains that are growing and have taken root before the 16th of Nisan, when the Omer is brought, they will be mutter. So that's the question. We will see a series of diamonds that appear in the Gemara with another marking, a double underline, with dots in it. This is explained in the featured explanations that we have in our Shas Ozer, the cornerstone of the Gemara marking system that you find in the outside margin of every daf when a new sugya appears. Here, under our Nosei, that is a topic. Mivneh is a structural note. At times we combine them, as you can see over here. We see a diamond featured. The diamond are Makoros de Omer Matir Mishehishrish. The Omer allows the grains that have taken root to be eaten. We will see then a double underline with dots in it. At that point, the Gemara will reject whatever suggested source is presented. So the Gemara, after Rebbe Lozer raises the question, the Gemara reacts and says, Min Olan, you're asking from where? Dichtiv. The Pasuk says, Oviv. On the inside margin, Vayikra Beis, Pasuk Dalet, we have written the entire Pasuk, V'im Takriv Minchas Bikurim Lashem, Oviv Kolui Boesh, Geres Karmel Takriv Es Minchas Bikurecha. The term Oviv appears. Oviv is a reference to a level of development, a fairly complete level of development, and the Pasuk says that you'll bring complete grains as the Omer. The Gemara goes on to say, Lav Michlal, does that not imply the Iko de Lav Oviv? That there are grains that are not Oviv, and that the Omer is Matir those. And the assumption being, when we say there are grains that are not fully developed, they are not fully developed, but they have taken root. Rashi points out that when the Pasuk says Oviv, it's saying bring Oviv as the Omer, and something that's not Oviv, so don't bring it as the Omer. However, we're not excluding the non-Oviv altogether. We're simply saying that which is non-Oviv, don't bring as the Korban Omer itself, don't bring it as the sacrifice itself, but it's not excluded from the ability of it to, from the ability of the Omer to matir it. So the Gemara now rejects this and says, "V'dilma d'lav oviv ul'olam da'ayel shlish." The pasuk that says that the Omer is matir things that are not oviv. True, it's not oviv. It's not complete, but maybe, in order for the Omer to matir it, it does have to have developed a third. In other words, to say that the Omer goes all the way to allow anything that's merely taken root, maybe that's going too far. Elo Omar Shmuel. So Shmuel suggests a new source. The Pasuk in Dvorim, Perek Tezayin Pasuk Tes, says, Mehochel Chermesh, from when the sickle starts cutting the fields, the harvest starts. That Pasuk, you can see, is quoted on the inside margin, Shiva Shavuos Tisporloch, Mehochel Chermesh Bakomot, Hochel Ispor Shiva Shavuos. That Pasuk refers to the counting of the 7 weeks of the Omer, and the counting starts from the point that the sickle starts. That's Mehochel starts. The Chermesh is the name of the vessel for cutting the grains. So the Pasuk is telling us that the Omer was brought from something that's fully developed, that you would cut, you would harvest, implying that there are other grains that may not be brought as the Omer, but nevertheless would be subject to the allowance afforded or provided by the Omer. Lav michlal diko de lav bar chermesh. It implies that there are grains that are not fit for the chermesh, for being cut by the sickle, and yet the Omer will be matir, and we are assuming that to mean they're not developed, they have taken root. So once again, in the same style, the Gemara deflects this and says, V'dilma delav bar chermesh. Maybe it's not chermesh, but nevertheless, ulolam shachas. But it has developed to a shachas level. A shachas level is something that has a grain that hasn't developed completely. It's only partially developed. And maybe that's what the Omer is matir. The Rashi points out on the there's a Dibur HaMaschil that it would be appropriate to look at together. Michlal de'iko de'lav bar chermesh. The Vahainu, when we say something that's not a bar chermesh, Vahainu shelo hevi shlish, di hevi shlish bar chermesh hu v'shori le omer, deha lo meate elo mehavo. So that if it's not bar chermesh, we probably should give a little bit of a, let's say, updated explanation. When the Gemara suggests something to be a bar chermesh, We mentioned before that it would be fully developed. It might be more accurate to say that it has reached a third. That's what Rashi suggests over here, because Rashi just said that if it was a bar, if it was hevi shlish, it would be bar chermesh. So, nevertheless, we're not necessarily going to conclude that having taken root is enough. As the Gemara said, ula olam shachas. Shachas, as we said, is a level of development that's of the grain whereby it's harvestable even though it hasn't reached a third. Omar Rav Yitzchak. The Pasuk says, koma. That same Pasuk, mehochel chermesh, the next word is bakoma. Lav michlal, does that not imply the lav bar koma? Doesn't it apply that there are grains that are not bar komo? They're not standing in the fullest sense of the word. And what that implies is that they have taken root. So the Gemara says even that's not a sufficient proof. Vidilma delav bar komo. It might be that it's not standing. However, ula olam agam. Agam is a situation beyond having taken root where the top of the new sprouting grain is protruding from the ground and it's bent over a bit. It's a level of development that's greater than having taken root, though. The Gemara continues and says, Elo Amarova. Asher Tizra. That's Pasuk in Shmos Chof Gimel, Pasuk Tezayin, which says, V'chag HaKotzir Bikurei Ma'asecho Asher Tizra Basodeh. And from this we want to learn Mishas Zriya, from the time of planting. Well, that would include something that has taken root. Omar le Rav Papa the Rava. Well, ihachi. Rav Papa says to Rava, if that is going to be the source for taking root, well, afagav de lo hishrishnami. Even if it hasn't taken root at all. Maybe the Omer will be matir all those plants who have simply been seeded, and that's it. Omar le, so Rava answers, Sudni. Sudni is a title used to address either Talmidei Chachamim or Rav Papa, specifically as he was a producer of beer, and the term Sudna is a term also used for beer producers. So he says, he addresses Rav Papa with this title, Sudni. He says, Bas Sodeh Ksiv. The word Bas Sodeh appears in the Pasuk. Bas Sodeh implies something that's not just seeded, but the seed has taken hold in the sodeh, in the field, namely, taken root. So, if you want to know what is the source for the omer being matir, things that have taken root, in the final analysis, it's this pasuk that says, V'chag ha-kotzir bikurei ma'asecha asher tizra ba-sodeh, that it's taken root in the field. As we turn to the new Mishnah, we have a topic heading in the outside margin, Dugma'ois v'de'ois b'ktsira shemuteres lifnei ha'omer. We will see different examples and opinions regarding harvesting that's allowed before the Omer. We have learned previously that the Omer was in fact a matir, that which allows harvesting. Prior to the bringing of the Omer, on the surface, it would appear that one would not be allowed to harvest any new crop. That's why this Mishnah comes along and says that there are exceptions to that restriction. The Mishnah, Koitzrin Beis Hashlochin Sheva Amokim Avolo Goitzin. One is allowed to harvest Beis Hashlochin, or irrigation fields that are in the valleys, low-lying areas, but even though one is allowed to cut the grains, to harvest them, one is not allowed to create piles of the grains before the Omer. Anshi Yericho Kotsun Berotzon Chachamim, the people of Yericho would harvest before the Omer, and that practice was done with the acceptance of the rabbis. The Goychen Shaloi Barotzen Chachamim, however, they went a bit further and made piles of grain also. That was done without the approval of the sages. V'lo Michul Biyadam, but there was no protest issued. Kotzer L'Shachas U'machil L'Behemto. Prior to the Omer, one is allowed to harvest partially developed grains. We saw the term Shachas in the Sugya above. And use those partially developed grains and use it as animal feed. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Emosai, Bizman, Shehischel Ad Shelo Hevi Shlish. Provided he started this harvesting for the animal before the crops developed a third. Rashi says, Emosai, Bizman, Shehischel, the Kotzer of the Tzorch Behemo, Ad Shelo Hevi Yoshlish, Kotzer Af, Misha Hevi Yoshlish. It will be mutter for him to Kotzer afterwards, even once it has developed a third. Continuing in the Mishnah, V'koitzrin mipnei hanetiyos. One is allowed to harvest grains because of saplings. Apparently, we have a situation where there are grains that are growing in the vicinity of newly planted trees. So, harvesting grains growing in their vicinity is allowed. Other allowances, mipnei beis ha'ovel. That's a situation where during a funeral, there's a special bracha said in the rechava, in an open area. If there's no room for them, for the avelim, for the mourners, to say this particular bracha, an area is allowed to be harvested to make room for the mourners. Mipnei bitul beis hamedrash. If there's no room for the people to sit and learn Torah, there is an allowance made that an area of field that happens to have grains growing in it can be cleared away for the purpose of making room for people to sit and learn. V'lo yase oison krichos. even though there may be an allowance for harvesting, one's not allowed to bundle them up by tying the bundles of grains together, elo manishim tzvosim, but rather can leave piles of grains together untied. That's tzvosim, or untied stalks of grain that are gathered together. Mitzvah sa'omer lavo min hakoma. The choice way to bring the omer offering is to bring it from grains that have not been harvested yet, and that you're going to cut them from a state of koma, from the state of standing grains. Lo matza yavi min ha'omrim. If he didn't find any standing grains for the omer, so they can bring stalks from those that are already cut. Mitzvaso lavo min halach. The choice is to bring fresh, non-dried stalks of grain. Lo matza yavi yavesh. If they can't find any fresh stalks, so they'll bring dried ones. Mitzvaso liktzor balayla. The choice way is for the ktsira, for the harvesting, to be done at the night before the 16th day. V'im niktzar hayom kosher. If it was cut during the daytime, in other words, they didn't have a chance to do it at night for whatever reason, and they had to cut it during the daylight hours, it's okay. The doche es haShabbos. This mitzvah of harvesting the grains for the Omer supersedes Shabbos. As we look at the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, Mokor delo kol ktsiro asuro lifnei ha'omer. We'll bring now the source for that which we saw in the Mishnah, that not all harvesting is forbidden before the Omer. Tanya. We have a framed section. You can see that is appears here several lines in a frame. In our marking system, we attempt to set apart from the rest of the Gemara that which appears in a frame. Appears in a frame is of Tanaic origin, to set it apart from the rest of the Gemara. Rabbi Binyamin Oimer, Kosov Echor Oimer Uktzartem es Ktsira, Vehevesem es Oimer. That's one pasuk. It says, you shall harvest things, and then bring the Omer, which is mashma that there are other harvestings that take place before the Omer. Uksiv, on another pasuk though, says, Reishis Ktsirchem el HaKohen, that the first of the harvestings is this, so that there are no harvestings beforehand. Ha-ketzad, how are we to resolve these two psukim? Answer, Mimoko Shato Mevi, from a region that's suitable for bringing the Omer, I'atokotzer, that type of area you're not allowed to harvest before the Omer. However, Mimokom Shi'ato Mevi, from regions that one is not, that are not suitable for the bringing of the Omer, I'atokotzer, those areas you are allowed to harvest. The Gemara raises an alternative suggestion. Emo mimin shatomevi I atokotzer, from the variety of grain that is brought as the Omer, namely barley, is that which is forbidden to harvest before the Omer. Mimin shi'atomevi, from wheat, for example, is something that's not suitable for the Omer. Atokotzer, that you would be allowed to harvest before the Omer. So the Gemara answers, Hahu lo motzis amris. That suggestion cannot be raised, that it should be mutter to cut other varieties other than barley before the Omer. And how do we know that? Midr Rabbi Yochanan, from a limud that was presented to us by Rabbi Yochanan that we learned in a previous shiur, where there was a gzeirah shava between the word reishis reishis from challah. The topic of challah is a tithe given from dough to the kohen. Challah is something given from all types of grains, all five varieties of grains. So just like challah applies to grains other than barley itself, so too the din of ktsira, learned from the word reishis ktsirchem, also is not limited to barley. We didn't elaborate on this topic of regions that are not suitable for the bringing of the Omer, but Rashi, in his commentary on the Mishnah, makes reference to things like that. For example, he mentions a stay Elon field in which trees are growing would not be suitable. Other kinds of fields that produce poor quality grains would not be suitable for the bringing of the Omer. So that kind of field, and we saw an example of that, the Beis HaShlochin, for example. That type of field is not a place from which one would bring the Omer. Therefore, it's mutter to harvest that kind of grain or that area. Rashi says, when it comes to the Beis HaShlochin Shebamokim, those are regions, in addition to the fact that the grains are poor, but that they go bad quickly. Therefore, it would be mutter to harvest them before. The basic idea is, as we said in the Brisa, that from places that you would not bring the Omer, those kind of places you are allowed to harvest before the Omer. But the focus is on place and not on variety. Variety meaning, when it comes to variety, we are more expansive in the restriction of harvesting, and the harvesting is forbidden before the Omer on things, even though you wouldn't bring them as the Omer, like wheat and other kinds of grains other than the barley. Nevertheless, harvesting of those varieties are not allowed. The Mishnah went on to say, "V'lo michu biyodam." The Gemara asks, "Man shames le de Omar michu v'lo michu?" Which Tana uses these expressions, either protest or did not protest? The answer is Rebbe Yehuda. We know that when you see the expression "velo michu biyodam," we know that there is a possibility of them having also been moche. Maybe over here they did not protest, but on other circumstances there would be a protest. The Tana that speaks about, we'll say, active involvement of the Chachomim, namely protesting or non-protesting, this is characteristic of Shitas Rav Yehuda, as opposed to Rebbe Meir, whom we will see in a Tanaic source, where Rebbe Meir doesn't mention anything about Chachomim protesting. All Rebbe Meir mentions are the terms Beratzon Chachomim and Shelo Beratzon Chachomim, without any indication of them protesting. So we're basically developing a question. According to our assumption right now that the Mishnah is authored by Rebbe Yehuda, because in the Mishnah you see the expression "velo michu biyadam," which is characteristic of Shitas Rebbe Yehuda, which we will have to prove momentarily, it would come out from our Mishnah that the Anshe Yericho harvested Beratzon Chachomim. And on that point, the Gemara raises a question. You'll notice also that it's a long question. We have this illustrated by a kuf that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara with a vertical descending dashed line, which takes you to Omid Beis, where the question ends. The Gemara asks, "V'savar Rabbi Yehuda kitsiru da'an shiricha b'rotzen chachamam havoi?" Is that really so? And on the outside margin, we have a nosei, and we will read our heading where it says Birur. We're going to clarify Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Ha'im hu be'emes sover? Does he really hold the ktsira da'an shiricho shikotsu lefnei oimer hoi baratzen chachamim, that the ktsira that was practiced by the residents, by the people, of the inhabitants of Yericho, was done with the rabbinic approval? We will see a source in which there are many, many details. But what we have to do is emphasize, though, the issue of the Anshe Yericho and their harvesting. And we will see in this long source, we'll see Rabbi Huda's name is encircled, four lines from the end of the Omid. We will also see at the very bottom line, the word V'kotzrin is dashed underline. Prior to that, the second line from the end, it said, V'elu shelo michu biyodam. The following, the rabbis did not protest. And one of the things that they did not protest, according to this source, under Rebbe Yehuda's name, they did not protest their harvesting. But there's a big difference by saying they did not protest, but it certainly was not with their approval. As Rebbe Yehuda himself says, three lines from the bottom, "Elu ve'elu shelo baratzen chachomim." Whatever the Anshe Yericho did that's featured in this source was not baratzen chachomim. Only that the harvesting that they did, though it was not baratzen chachomim, they did not protest. That will be in contrast or in contradiction to what our Mishnah said with regard to the harvesting of the Anshei Richo, which was done by Ratzon Chachamim. That is the heart of the question. The Gemara, in presenting the Tanaic source, will be presenting many, many other details. But those additional details are really not the focus of our sukya. So now we continue in the Gemara with the beginning of the long question. Does Rabbi Yehuda really hold that the harvesting of the Anshei Richo before the Omer was done with rabbinic approval? But we have the following source. Bear in mind, Rabbi Yehuda appears later in the source. Shisha Dvarim, also Anshei Richo, there are six practices that the Anshei Yericho, the residents of Yericho, practiced. Shloisha Brotzim Chachamim, Shloisha Shelo Brotzim Chachamim. Three were with rabbinic approval, and three lacked rabbinic approval. And we now enumerate. V'elu Shebrotzim Chachamim. One, Markivin Dekolim Kol Hayom. Markivin is a process of grafting palm trees. We're not talking here, of course, about different varieties, but harkova of trees is often done in order to make them more fruitful. So the Kol Hayom that's featured over here is a reference to the 14th of Nisan, to Erev Pesach, which is a day that, even though it's not formally a holiday, nevertheless there are malacha restrictions. So what they did, they practiced this Harkovas Dekolim all day on the 14th of Nisan, holding that it's not a significant enough activity warranting restriction. Number two, V'korchen Es Shema. Rashi quotes the Gemara Psachim that says that they would read Shema Yisrael and read the Parsha Shema without leaving spaces or gaps between the words. So it was a rather hasty, imprecise reading. And that's how they read Shema. There are other pshatim to this. Tosfos mention some alternative ideas. And one of them is that when they finished the first sentence of the Shema, they didn't pause between that and saying, Boruch Shem Kevoid Malchuso Leolom Voed. Either way, Korchen Eshma has to do with a certain type of or manner of reading the Shema that the Anshei Richo practiced, and the Tanakhama tells us that it was done with rabbinic approval. Number three, and they used to harvest before the bringing of the Omer, even though, as we said before, the bringing of the Omer signifies the beginning point of harvesting. They harvested before the Omer was brought. The second category, the Elu Shelo Berotzon Chachamim, the following three practices they did without receiving rabbinic approval. Goychin Lifnei Omer. Not only did they harvest, but they also created piles of grain before the Omer. Umatirin Gamzios Shel Hektish Shel Chorv Shel Shikma. Chorv and Shikma are types of trees that produced wood that was very suitable for building purposes. They were matir, the branches of trees, claiming that their forefathers had dedicated these Haruv and Shikma trees to the Beis HaMikdash, but that a dedication to the temple fund is only with regard to that which exists at the time of the dedication, but future growth is not sanctified. So they used to say that the future growth was allowed. That's what the Amatirin Gamzios Shel Hekdish is a reference to. Number three, Uportsin Pritzois Beginoiseim Uparduseim Lachil Nishar Lanim Bishnei Batsoros Bishabosus V'Mutovim Divrei Rabbi Meir. They used to create gaps or holes in the fences around their gardens and orchards in order to enable the poor during the years of famine to enter with ease and to enter their fields and get food with ease. It seems from here that they did this on Shabbos and Yom Tov. This enabled them to, as we said, they enabled the poor to have what to eat. Anyway, this is classified as something that was Shelo Berotzein Chachomim. Rashi points out on the top of Omid Beis that the problem with this the poor entering the fields that the fences were breached for the benefit of the poor. The fear is that once they're eating the nishar, which we should explain means the fallen fruits, they would come in and also climb the trees and pull off fruits that are attached. That already is an isur doraisa. So that the Chachamim were really in disapproval of them having enabled the poor to enter the fields on Shabbosis and Yomim Tovim through these breaches. The source continues, Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda, im beratzon chachamim hein oisin, if there were three things that were done with rabbinic approval, so then why is it limited to the Anshei Yericho? You call Adam oisin kain, then everyone should be practicing it. Ela elu ve'elu shelo beratzon chachamim. Rather, the two lists that you have are both without rabbinic approval. And we want to emphasize right now, bear in mind that from this point on, Rabbi Yehuda is going to speak about things that are done without rabbinic approval. Only that al-shlosha michu bi-adam, al-shlosha lo michu bi-adam. With regard to three, there was rabbinic protest. With regard to three, they remained silent. But again, it was without their approval. V'elu shelo michu bi-adam. The following, they did not protest. Markivin de Kolim Kolayom, Korchen Eshma, the Koitzrin, the Goitzin, Lifnei Ha'oimer. We've dashed underlined the Koitzrin because this is the point of the question. We see here that this is under the heading of Shaloi Beratzon Cholim, simply though they didn't protest. In the Mishnah, though, which we claimed was authored by Rabbi Yehuda, it said that the Achirichu Koitzrin Beratzon Chachomim. It's also worth noting in the numbering here that this is supposed to be a list of three items that Shelo Michu Biyodam. In our numbering, we've numbered four items. Bear that in mind for later. The Elu Shemichu Biyodam. The other three items actually aroused rabbinic protest. Matirin Gamzia Shelheg Shelchor Shel Shikmo. And this is a new thing we didn't discuss before. Noisen Peol Yerek is a situation where they would leave a corner of their vegetable fields for the poor. Peol is that which involves leaving a corner of the field for the poor. That, generally speaking, is done from crops that have longevity and are stored, storable crops. Vegetables are not in that category. They, nevertheless, went, we'll say, beyond the letter of the law and left payoff from vegetables as well. Umichu biyadam, this aroused rabbinic disapproval. And the reason for that, in the case of the payoff, is because things from which payah is left are exempt from the miser tithes. Things that are not designed for being left as payah require the miser tithe. So by leaving the vegetables as payah, people will think, well, since it's payah, the misers don't have to be separated from them, which is a bitter error. At this point, though, we've concluded the question. The question is regarding the ktsira of the Anshei Yericho prior to the Omer. The Mishnah indicated that that was done with rabbinic approval, and we said the Mishnah was authored by Rabbi Yehuda. We have here a Tanaic source which mentions ktsira as being under the category of non-rabbinic approval. So after the question is raised, the Gemara rebuts the question and says, "Ulatamech, according to you who are asking from this source, Shisha Shilohavu." If you look at that second section of the Mishnah with Reb Yudah, he was supposedly giving you a breakdown of six items, three and three. But when we look closely at the list, we find four and three. And that's what we referred to before in the numbering. And therefore, there seems to be an inaccuracy in this source. Ela, Sami Mikan Ktsira. Take Ktsira out of the list of items that were done according to Reb Yudah, Shelo Michu Biyodam. And if you take that out, so then the Ktsira is, we simply, as we would say in using modern terms, we simply press delete on the word the Kotsrin, and therefore Kotsrin is not the subject of things that were done Shelo Beratzon Chachamim at all. So that the Mishnah which says that the Anshei Richo were Kotsrin Beratzon Chachamim remains so. Continuing in the Gemara, Kotser L'Shachas Umachi L'Beima, our Mishnah mentioned that one would be allowed to kotser, to harvest grains for shachas purposes, and we've mentioned earlier that shachas represented a level of development that was an early level of development in grains. It seemed from the Gemara it's a reference to something that's prior to a third of its level of maturation. Often, grains harvested for shachas were used as animal feed. We don't want to say exclusively, so as to leave room for some of the discussion later in the Gemara. But at this point, it's important to note, from here till the end of today's shiur, we are going to be involved with defining what comes under the heading of normal harvest. The concept of normal harvest has applications not only with regard to the prior to Omer offering restriction, namely the restriction of harvesting before the Omer, and that restriction applies to what we would refer to in very general terms a normal harvest situation. There is also an application of this to the realm of payoff. That is the upcoming topic that the Gemara will be mentioning, and there will be an attempt on the part of the Gemara to tie together a shita, the shita of Rabbi Meir that we will see in this payoff source with Tanoim that we have, with other Tanoim that we have seen in the context of the Omer. With regard to payoff, if one has a field, so if it's one continuous or contiguous piece of property where each section is connected to the other, so all that's necessary is for one corner of the field to be left for the poor. If, however, a person has a plot of agricultural land and the land itself is divided into sections and the division is through all kinds of different dividers, and that will be the subject of the Tanaic source we're about to learn. But the general principle is, if it's divided, then a separate payah must be left from each section. Though there are going to be many examples, it's not within the context of our shiur to focus on each example. Rather, we are going to focus on the point of the point raised here concerning harvesting. So the Mishnah from Peah is quoted in this framed section, Tanan Hossam, the Elu Mafsikin Lepeah. Mafsikin, as we mentioned, means a separation. A separation, and the separation in a field will then necessitate the leaving of a separate payoff from each subsection. So what are those things that separate? Hanachal, a river, Vashluvis, ponds, the Derech HaYochid, the Derech HaRabim, paths that are for private passage or for the public passage. A private Derech is 4 Amah wide pathway, and a Derech HaRabim is a 16 Amah wide road. Ushvil HaRabim, Ushvil HaYochid, HaKavua B'mois Achama B'mois HaGshamim, or pathways of for the public or the individuals that are fixed all year round. They're Yomos HaChamer the summer, Yomos HaGshamim the winter time. The Habur. Bur is an uncultivated, a field left fallow, a fallow field. The Hanir, a plowed section. The Zera Acher, if you have the land let's say the two extremes of the field have one type of crop, and in the middle there is another type of crop. So those two extremes need a separate payah left from each side, because the Zera Acher, the other variety, separates. The Kotzer L'Shachas, Mafsik, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Kotzer L'Shachas is a situation where, in the middle of the field, he harvested grains that were only partially developed, and he harvested them with shachas intent. Shachas, as we mentioned before, was the use of the grains in this, we'll call it, premature state. So the harvesting of a field for shachas creates a hefsik, so that even though it's a field full of wheat growing in it, if down the middle of the field someone harvested it, l'shachas, harvested the wheat at that early stage, that creates a hefsik. And we do not view that as merely the beginning of the harvest of the entire field, but rather it's a separate, it really is a creation of a separation. If, however, we were to view this as the beginning of the harvest, so then it's simply viewed as one contiguous field, and one payah would be sufficient. But according to Rabbi Meir, kotzer l'shachas is something that we call an unusual act of harvesting, and therefore it's going to be classified as a, we'll have to simply say, as a non-harvest cutting of grain. The Chachamim Omrim Ein Mafsik El Im Chorash. The harvesting for Shachas will not be considered a separation unless he also plowed up that harvested section. And by plowing it up, it then becomes what we saw before, near. Near means a plowed section. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, following which we'll have a mivneh, structural note. The nosei is now a review of that which we just learned. Shitas Rabbi Meir b'Maseches Peah, b'dvorim ha-mafsikin l'peah. The opinion of Rabbi Meir cited in Maseches Peah in the context of those things that create a separation in fields, necessitating separate peah tithes. Benosei kotzer l'shachas, shitas Rabbi Meir, specifically regarding kotzer l'shachas, this is the premature harvesting of grains. Mafsik l'peah, it's considered a separation with regard to the field. The eino nechsha tchilas ksir, it's not considered the beginning of the harvest, but rather a separate act of cutting. HaGemora Tevarer, the Gemara will investigate, clarify, B'shitas mi, Omar Rabbi Meir es Dvarav. Rabbi Meir, in developing his opinion, who was he basing himself upon? In the Gemara, we'll then notice triangles that appear in two different directions, and under our Mivneh, our structural note, we've presented a triangle with the point facing up. We've indicated in parentheses, Ma'akav. We will be using the triangle in its two varying positions as a means of keeping track of a discussion. With the point facing upwards, those are nisyonos, attempts, lahamid Rabbi Meir kashitas echad min atanoyim, to set up Rabbi Meir, to parallel him with one of the other tanoim that will be featured in the Gemara. With the triangle inverted, that will represent a dechio or a kushia, a rejection or a problem that's raised on the previous attempt. The diamonds are used to highlight b'shitas whoever in the sheet according to the opinion of. If you scan down the page, you can see the first attempt is to establish Rabbi Meir like Rabbi Shimon. The second attempt is to establish him like Rabbi Yehuda. The third attempt is we're going to break it up into Aleph and Beis. We'll have two stages in the third stage to set up Rabbi Meir like Rabbi Akiva. Turning now to the Gemara. Omar Rabba Barbachano, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Meir, Beshitas, Rabbi Shimon, Omra. Rabbi Meir, in saying that Kotzer Leshachas is not really a harvest, is similar to Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah de Omar, Yiktzor V'achil Af Mishehevio Shlish. Rabbi Shimon said that one could harvest before the Omer, even if it has developed a third. Our Mishnah had spoken about Kotzer L'Shachas. There was a Tanakhama had said that one is allowed to Kotzer L'Shachas. Rabbi Yehuda commented on that and said, provided it has not developed a third, provided you started the harvesting L'Shachas before it developed a third, and Rabbi Shimon says that you can start the harvesting of grains even if they have developed a third. So we see Alma Kosovar, Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah holds, Kol L'Shachas Lav Ktsiro Hi. Harvesting for Shachas purposes, for the benefit for using the grains in that premature state, is not considered a harvesting. And therefore, with regard to Peah, also, it's not considered the beginning of the harvest of the field. It's considered a non-harvest. It's whatever you want to consider it, but don't call it the beginning of the harvest. And therefore, it's mafsik by Peah as well. Hence, drawing a parallel between Rabbi Shimon, who allows Shachas Mishviyah Shlish even before the Omer, apparently it's not considered a harvesting, because harvesting is not allowed before the Omer. Rabbi Shimon is allowing Ktsiras Shachas Af Mishaviyah Shlish before the Omer. Apparently, it's not called a harvest. Likewise, as we said with regard to Peah, since it's not called a harvest, it separates the field. Yosef Rabbo Bekomer Lo Loho Shmaitza. Rabbo was sitting and said over this teaching that which Rabbi Yochanan said, that Rabbi Meir is parallel to Rabbi Shimon. A long question is now going to be raised. You can see the kuf that appears to me the right-hand side of the Gemara with a descending vertical line indicates this is a kushya lasting all of the lines of Gemara parallel to this vertical dashed line. Esve Rav Acho Bar Huno Lerova. We have a Tanaic source. Initially, there is no name in the source, but the Gemara will attach a name to it. Ochlo Chagov, we're within the realm of Peah and things that cause separation of fields. If Chagov is a type of insect, a locust, ate the grains. Kirsimua Nemolim, or Nemolim, often translated as ants, consume the grains. The different verbs, Ochlo versus Kirsimua, Rashi explains that the locust eat the grains from their tops, and the ants knock the grains or eat the grains from their bottoms. Either way, it's a reference to insect consumption. Shavasuha ruach, or the grains were broken by a strong wind. Hakol moidim, everyone will agree. Chorosh mafsik, lo chorosh eno mafsik. That if you plowed up the area after these events took place, then it will be a mafsik. However, if you don't plow it up, then it's not considered a mafsik. Maybe it's going to be viewed as the beginning of a harvest. Hakol moidim man. When the expression says everyone will agree, will concede, who is being referred to? Answer, Rebbe Meir. In the original Peah source, we saw that only the Chachamim mentioned that in the case of Kotzer L'Shachas, that Harisha was necessary to create the separation. Rabbi Meir did not place a premium on the need for harisha of the plowing. Here in this source, that it says everyone concedes that you do need a plowing, that would be Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, who originally said by Kotzel Shachas, without harisha there is separation. Here he is Modeh, here he concedes that you need harisha to be masik. Before going further, let's just point out that this Tanaic source, this Brisa, we'll refer to it henceforth as the Brisa because the Gemara will make that specific reference. The more recent framed section is the Brisa of Peah. The Gemara's reference to the Mishnah of Peah is the longer framed source above from Maseches Peah. The consumption of insects that was described over here one can assume we're talking about grains that are fully developed. Let's now turn to the Gemara. After establishing that this Brisa that says Hakol Moedim is Rebbe Meir, E Amris Bishlamo Masnisin, the Mishnah of Peah, in the case of Kotzer Lashachas, where Rebbe Meir said you don't need the plowing, that's because it was Bishlo Heviyoshlish. It was very underdeveloped, and therefore the cutting is not called the beginning of a harvest. And that being the case, so it wasn't. You don't need to have anything else. You don't need to have a plowing to establish it as a separation. Brisa, the source that spoke about the insect consumption, wherein it said the chorashin lo chorashlo, that the separation will be achieved only if it's plowed, that's b'shehevi shlish. It developed a third. Eloi amris masnisin nami b'shehevi shlish. If you're going to set up the kotzer l'shachas case, that it also developed a third, it's a third developed, and you don't need a harvesting. You don't need a plowing, because it's not considered the beginning of a harvest. And that's what you're going to say in the case of the Mishnah of Peah, which had a person doing the cutting. So let's go over this point again. You have a person cutting something that has been heavy shlish. And even though it's fairly developed, in the sense that it's more than a third developed, and you don't need to have a plowing, because in and of itself, it's not considered the beginning of a harvest. So, hashtu mahosam, diktsiro de odom, omar Rabbi Meir lo shmo ktsiro. There in the Mishnah, you have something that a person does, and still it's not considered a ktsiro, it's not considered a harvesting. Hocholo kol shekein. Here in the case where the insects consume these fully developed grains, certainly it won't be considered a ktsiro. Let's go over that point again. When a person is doing the mevi shlish harvesting, it's not considered a ktsira. Then insects doing it certainly would not make it into a ktsira, and therefore the brisa would be totally superfluous. And yet we do have this brisa. So it must be that the Mishnah in Peah, where Rebbe Meir spoke, was kotzer l'shachas only shelo hevi shlish. Now, what did Rabbi Shimon say about Kotzer L'Shachas? He said that Kotzer L'Shachas is considered a non-harvest even if Hevi Ashlish. So we see that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir are not to be paralleled. Elo Rabbi Meir Beshitas Rabbi Huda Amra. Rather, we'll parallel Rabbi Meir with Rabbi Huda. And we saw, so far, Rabbi Meir is saying, if it has not been mevi shlish, it's not considered ktsira. We saw Rabbi Huda. The Gemara goes on to say, we said b'shitas Rabbi Huda Omra di Omar Amosai. When is harvesting allowed before the Omer? Bizman shishchil ad shaloi hevi shlish. And with our markings, we've emphasized the word shaloi hevi shlish prior to its bringing developing a third. Okay, so then Rebbe Meir, who was saying a human harvest prior to a third is a non-harvest, and hence, in the case of Peah, it serves as a divider, would agree with Rebbe Yehuda, can be paralleled with Rebbe Yehuda, who said in the case of a pre-Omer plowing, a pre-Omer harvesting, that would be allowed, provided it's not a third. Rejection. Amar, the Shamis lay the Rabbi Yehuda, the Behema. All we know, as far as Shitas Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, that will that a pre-Omer harvesting will be allowed, provided you're doing it for animal feed only. And in that, Rabbi Yehuda is simply coming to explain the Tanakama, who spoke about harvesting for a behema. Le'odom mi shamislei? Did we hear Rabbi Yehuda saying that the harvesting actually vishlish would be mutter before the Omer if you were doing it for human consumption? However, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Meir spoke about kotzer l'shachas for human consumption as well. Rabbi Yehuda, though, was limited to behema. De'im kain, if you would try to say that Rabbi Yehuda was allowing kotzer l'shachas pre-third development for human use as well, havaluhu t'losa tanoi, then we would have three shitas in the Mishnah, and we know that there are not three shitas in the Mishnah, because it's explained that when Rabbi Yehuda uses the word amosai, he's not coming to present a third sheet, he's coming to explain the Tanakama. And the Tanakama was limited to animal feed. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda must be limited to animal feed. And the machlokis would be, what about harvesting l'shachas? According to the Tanakama and Tanakama slash Rabbi Yehuda, it will be allowed for a behema, provided it's before a third. According to Rabbi Shimon, it would be allowed for a person even after a third. Those are two distinct opinions, but not three opinions. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda cannot be speaking about a kotzer l'shachas for person benefit. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, in the Mishnah of Peah, was not limiting to animal feed. So, once again, we see that Rabbi Meir doesn't parallel this the suggested Tana. Elo, third approach, ki oso Rav Dimi Omar, when Rabbi Dimi came, he said, Rabbi Meir b'shitas Rabbi Kiva raboi Omar, af l'odom nami lo haveiktsira. Harvesting before a third development, even for person consumption, is not considered a harvesting. Disnan, we have a Tanaic source which also deals with a payoff issue, a payoff division issue. In this sense, it's a little easier for us because Rabbi Meir originally appeared in the context of payoff as well. So here we're paralleling Rabbi Meir with Rabbi Kiva, both appearing in the context of payoff. Disnan, Hamanamir Sode Vishir Boy Klochim Lachim. Menamer has to do with a harvesting in a non-continuous fashion. Rashi says, Kotzer Shura Meniach Shura Dehave Sode Menumar. It's like a spotted field where you harvest a row and leave a row standing. Harvesting a row and leaving a row standing. So we have a person who is harvesting in this spotted way, Hamanamir Sode, Vishir Boy Klochim Lachim. And the grains that were left were non fully developed grains. Because if they were, if he let's say he harvested a row in a non continuous fashion, but the grains, the rows that were left standing were fully developed, We are going to view his action simply as the beginning of a continuous harvesting, and that would not separate. But if the rows that are left standing themselves are not fully developed, then each row that was harvested is considered a separate entity, and therefore at the end of each row, a separate payah will have to be left. So Rabbi Akiva Omer, payah l'chol echod ve'echod, v'chachomim omrim me'echod al hakol. The Chachamim say one payah to cover the entire area. The Omer of Yehuda Shmuel, lo chiev Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva required a separate payah for each row. Elo b'minamir l'kloyos. That's where he would... Kloyos is a term referring to roasted grains. People would harvest premature grains that have not developed a third and use these under third developed grains for person consumption and roast them. They would roast them and eat them like that. So we see here, since a separate peah is left from each from each row that he's harvesting for kloyos, we see this is not considered a harvesting. It's not considered the beginning of a harvest by virtue of the fact that each row is treated separately. Avol b'menamer le'oitzerlo, if one harvested fully developed grains, those are the kind of grains that one would store in a storage facility, in an otzar, then he wouldn't say leave a separate pail, because that would be considered the beginning of a harvest. So in simple terms, Rabbi Akiva is describing as a non-harvest the harvesting of under third developed grains for person consumption. And that's exactly how we have described Shitas Rabbi Meir till this point. The Gemara asks, Eini, the Haki also Rabbi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mechayev Hoya Rabbi Akiva, Af Beminamer Leotzar. This is another version. This is not the Ravdimi version, but rather the Ravin version, who says that Rabbi Akiva was Mechayev a separate payah even for something that's completely developed. Now, Rabbi Meir didn't say that. Rabbi Meir said that if you have something that's fully developed, then unless you plow up the area, it won't be considered a separation. Here we have Ravin presenting Rabbi Akiva saying that even if it's fully developed, even without a plowing, it's considered a non-harvest. So the Gemara answers, and we're calling this three bays. In other words, the we'll call it within setting up Rabbi Meir like Rabbi Akiva. Here's a variation. Instead of him being streamlined like Rabbi Akiva, Savar lo kavose b'chada, upolig ole b'chada. He holds like Rabbi Akiva with regard to the non-third harvested grains, the non-third developed harvested grains, that's not considered a harvesting. However, he disagrees with Rabbi Akiva with regard to the issue of the heavy shlish. In other words, Rabbi Meir doesn't go as far as Rabbi Akiva to say that even if it was heavy shlish and beyond, that would be considered a non-harvest. But rather, Rabbi Meir, something that's beyond a third developed, that would be considered the beginning of a harvest. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.